Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Well, if you've been with us the last 2 weeks, you'll know that the service, Pastor Bill stepped up and he started the service in an unusual way. He told some bad jokes. And while he's not here to defend himself, he's actually away taking his bride on her birthday weekend. Today is Miss Terry's birthday. And so if you have her number in your phone this week, maybe reach out to her and text her and say, happy birthday, Miss Terry, or even today. She probably won't answer today, but because they're away. And it's amazing that both of our, Pastor Bill and my wife, lead pastors, we have wives that have milestone birthdays this week. My wife does too. So if you know her, reach out to her today and say happy birthday. She'd probably kill me because I said that. I see her right now giving me the email. That was her standing up here giving the announcements, if you didn't know. That's my bride. And but I want to begin today with an attempt to make Pastor Bill look good. Okay? Now, I don't know how hard or easy that's going to be, but he's going to listen to this message later, and I want him to be honored because of this. So I'm going to tell some worse jokes than he did to make him look good, okay? So you can sit there and not laugh or laugh. That's up to you. What do you call a can opener that doesn't work? A can't opener. Why did the scarecrow get promoted? He was outstanding in his field. What do you call somebody with nobody and just a nose? Nobody knows. What type of music do mummies listen to? Rap music. You knew that one. I led you into that one. And I came up with this one, so if it's really bad, this is what's going to honor Pastor Bill. Okay? What do you call a pastor who tells bad jokes? No. Strike that from the recording. Someone said Bill. No. Strike that from... No, what do you call a pastor who tells bad jokes? Clergy, not funny. Clergy? Okay, see, that's how bad. Pastor Bill, you're honored if you're listening to this. Hallelujah. Now that that's out of the way, we had a little fun. I want to get a little serious, a little important, a little introspective this morning. A little contemplative. I need you to think internally. And this is about you and God. We close our message series today on the Holy Spirit. And it's a blessing. Scripture tells us don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And it's a blessing that telling bad jokes doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit. We're glad for that. Pastor Bill had the amazing pleasure in the first two messages of this series to help us remember and to help us know who the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Sometimes we think about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but we don't spend enough time on who the Holy Spirit is. We think it's this attachment to God, this attachment to Jesus, but it's a He. He is a person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. And His name is Holy Spirit. And He's important in our lives. And Pastor Bill shared with us who He is and also what role He plays in our lives, in the believer's life, what He does and what His purpose is for coming when Jesus ascended to heaven. Pastor Bill mentioned just a few of the important things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives and the role that He plays by guiding us into all truth. If there's truth to be had, which we believe there is, the Holy Spirit's job is to guide us there. His job is to give us the assurance that we are children of God, that we truly belong to God. He instills hope. He instills strength. And He shared one of my favorite roles the Holy Spirit does, and this is what my heart resonates more than anything. He equips followers of Christ to serve others. Because see, if you're serving others, you truly resonate with who Jesus is and what He came to do. He says, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. So when we find ourselves doing that and being equipped with what the Holy Spirit gives us and then going and using what we've been equipped with, we are closer to Jesus, I believe, than any other time is when we're serving others. Because when we're serving others, we take the focus off of us. And really, that's what the core of the message I want you to get today. Today, I am commissioned to ask you to consider a very searching question. That is for you to search your heart and consider being honest with yourself. But before I do, I want you to listen to a bit of history. How many of you own guns? Raise your hand if you own a gun. Wow. There's a lot of you. How many of you like to shoot them? Wow. Some of you raised your hands and didn't raise your hand. You had a gun. You like to shoot guns, but you don't have guns. Well, let me tell you a little story about Jesse James. Jesse James was one of the most famous men of the West. For a period of about 15 years, Jesse James and his gang committed 26 holdups where they made off with approximately $200,000 and killed at least 17 men. Many, history says, by the hand of Jesse James. Jesse James was one of the West's most notorious outlaws, and yet very few people know that Jesse James was a devout churchgoer. What's that say about y'all? Shortly after he killed one man in a bank robbery, James was baptized in the Kearney Baptist Church in Kearney, Missouri. Then he killed another man, a bank cashier, and joined the church choir and taught hymn singing. He loved to go to church, but he couldn't always show up on Sundays. On two Sundays, he had to work. He had a couple of trains to catch. If you didn't know any better, you'd think Jesse James was a very good church member. I mean, he was baptized, he sang in the choir, he taught hymn singing, and he was fairly regular in church attendance. But, of course, he was also a thief and a murderer. He had all the right moves, but all the wrong motives. You know, that happens more than you realize in the church. And I'm guessing also when it comes to our reasons for wanting the Holy Spirit and what it is that He can give us. And so the question I want you to ask yourself today and think about as we open God's Word is to check your motives. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and how important He is and what He brings and what He does and why He's here. And we all have Him. But what's the reason that you have Him? What are your motives? Why do you want Him? A couple weeks ago, a friend asked me after one of the services, "Pastor Mike, how can I get the Holy Spirit? And how can I feel that He is in me or that I have Him?" We all, followers of Christ, want to know that God is living inside of us, don't we? We want to know that His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and knowing or feeling it kind of confirms or validates that maybe He loves me. Maybe we are worthy. Maybe I do have a purpose. Maybe God is using me. But you see, those are based on feelings. Feelings are not always indicative of truth, though. Scripture assures us that the moment we place our trust in the Lord, the moment we say by faith, Jesus is the only Son of God, and we believe in His work on the cross to save us from our sin and to make us clean before the Lord, the Spirit makes His home within us. So if you are saved by the blood of Christ, you also have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. All of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. An example of a might be you may not feel. And see, that's where feelings get us in trouble. We've got to have feelings, but we also have to know the truth. And when we believe the truth, then the feelings we have won't be so uninterpreted at times. Because you see, this world affects us. You know, we might go out here and have a bad week and come in here and have this amazing worship service and we don't feel a thing. And we say, so the Holy Spirit wasn't here. Not true. Truth tells us that God lives, Jesus lives, the Spirit lives in the praises of His people. Maybe this will help you. We are all born with the same amount of muscles in our body. Everybody has the same muscles in your body. But you may look at one person and say, wow, they've got some big muscles. And they may look at me and say, Pastor Mike, where's your big muscles? You know, you don't have any muscles. Well, not true. I have muscles. I have the same muscles. It's just that I've exercised mine differently than they've exercised theirs. And you can tell that from athlete to athlete or non-athlete to non-athlete. how their muscles are used, what they exercise. And that's no different than the Spirit in our lives. How do we exercise the Holy Spirit that lives in our lives? He is there. He is there, but how are we using, if you want to relate it, the metaphor, that muscle in our body? He's not a muscle, he's a person, and he lives in us, and he wants to be used in us. That's the reason that he came. But many times we don't exercise those gifts that he wants to give, or those abilities that he instills and puts inside of us to be used. But see, that's where we get in trouble. That's where we have to check our motives. We may have it, but why do we want to use those gifts? And that's where I'm going today. Many times we are counting on a feeling to tell us if the Holy Spirit is here or in us or working. And feelings are good, but they're dangerous when it comes to the truth. They're dangerous without the truth to back them up. Truth tells us he is here, living and working in us. Maybe we ought to ask ourselves if the Holy Spirit, and Pastor Bill mentioned this last week, if the Holy Spirit has all of you. Because you have all of the Holy Spirit. But by not exercising, by not tapping into that power, what you're really saying is that he doesn't have all of you. Every part of you surrender. Mind, body, soul, and spirit. And so we need to check ourselves. But this question, my friend, got me to thinking. He got me to thinking, why then? Why do we really want the Holy Spirit? What are our motives in wanting him in our life? So today, that's the message on my heart, and I want to deliver to you. Why do you want him? I mean, if we are Christ followers, Christians, if you will, lovers of God, worshipers of the awesome Creator, and believe that the Trinity or the Godhead, as called also, that he would want the Holy Spirit. We would want him, of course. He's part of that threesome, that three in one. But apart from wanting him because he is God in us and he comes with the whole package, why do you really want him in your life? I ask us, me included, about our motives when it comes to asking for what the Holy Spirit can give us. And pardon me today, because I think it would be necessary, if appropriate, and this would be the Holy Spirit working. Because if your heart is open, he is working, if you're allowing him to, that your toes might get stepped on today. And maybe a couple broken today. So I'm just delivering. I'm the messenger. And I'm going to give what God gave me. So, do we ask? Here's a question. Do we ask? Do you ask? Do I ask for my own benefit or for the benefit of the body of Christ? Do we seek to bring glory and attention and fame to Jesus Christ? Or do we tend to want to draw a bit of attention our way when we exercise what the Holy Spirit has given us? When we come to serve others, is it because we want to be famous or known or be seen or get accolades or add a boy, add a girl? Or is it for the glory of Christ, to live up Jesus Christ so others will see him? John 16:14 says, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Even the Spirit joins in. Even the Holy Spirit, by what he gives, brings glory to Jesus. Because it's not from him that he gives, but from Jesus. So Jesus will be seen, so Jesus will be lifted up, so Jesus will be glorified. Chris Tomlin did a song many years ago. It was one of my favorite songs at that time. It's called Famous One. It says, the chorus goes, you are the Lord, the famous one, the famous one. Great is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare, you're glorious, great is your fame in all the earth. And for all you've done and yet to do, with every breath I'm praising you. Desire of nations in every heart, you alone are God. You alone are God, because you are the Lord, the famous one, the famous one. Can you say that in your life? Can you sing that and speak that to heaven, to God? Say, God, you are the famous one, not me. You're the one to be lifted up. You're the one to be seen. You're the one to be celebrated and adored. And that's where we check our motives. But could it be true that we are all tempted to want glory for ourselves? I raise my hand and admit and confess there are those times. possible that there are some who want these gifts so the attention will fall on them? If I were searching my heart deep enough, I would say there are times in my life that that's true. James 4:3 says, in regards to prayer, but I believe it's appropriate here too, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. See, we all like attention, don't we? We all like to be seen in light that people like us and love us, and they like to see what we're about and give us compliments and encourage us and lift us up. But in regards to the Holy Spirit, what are our motives? Do we ask with wrong motives, therefore we don't receive? Is this you or me? If this is, then we're no better than Simon the sorcerer, as told by Luke in the book of Acts. And I want to read you a passage of Scripture here out of Acts chapter 8. It says, now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city, amazed all the people in Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is rightly called Great Power of God. Excuse me. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers and that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now get this, listen, you find yourself in here? When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And here's what they said. Peter answered, may your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. And then he says, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. You see, our motives, if we come to the Lord with wrong motives, that in essence, when we ask for something because we want it for our glory, we're sinning. But you see, God will have his glory. When we do that, we take away what rightfully belongs to God. And so many of us, well, I don't want to do that, so I just won't ask for the Spirit to work in me. Well, I don't want that, so I just won't do that because I'm afraid that I'll take the glory. No, that's not what he wants, because when God has all of you, when you're surrendered to God, there's no chance of you taking the glory. You want to give it to God. When you're fully surrendered, you want to give it to God. The reason he gives the gifts is that he does so for the body of Christ, that it will be edified, matured, provided for, cared for, and through that, God is glorified. The reason we are equipped with what the Holy Spirit can give is not primarily for us. It's not primarily for our own benefit. It's for the benefit of the body of Christ. And it also enables us to go and do what God commands us to do in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples. That we bring all men to us. No. That we draw all men to the Father. So that he becomes the famous one. So that he is known. So that they see him. We are just a conduit. We are just a vessel. We are a tool to be used by God, to be used up and filled up and then used again, so that people will come to the Father. Paul tells us in the Corinthians that the gifts of the Spirit can give, that he can give, are meant for the common good of the body. 1 Corinthians 12 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Not the Spirit doesn't give it to me for my good. He gives for the common good so that I can serve the body. So that I have the strength and power to go into the community this week. And we're going to talk about that at the end of the service. This is our community prayer walk week. And so I can go and I can lift up Jesus in the community and not Mike McGuire. Someone said to me the other day, hey, I just need to ask you something. I hear Pastor Mike, but what's your last name? That just made me think of that. Side note, McGuire, by the way. 1 Corinthians 12 also says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, get this now, just as He determines. You see, we can pray and pray and pray, but it's up to the Spirit to know where we are, how we've matured, what we're ready for and what we're not ready for. And a lot of times it has to do with how much we have given to the Lord of our life. 1 Corinthians 14:12. So it is with you, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. That build up the church. Francis Chan, in his book, and Pastor Bill alluded to this book, which is a great book. It's in Forgotten God. He says this: so these reflections of the Spirit's presence and activity in us have nothing to do with our natural abilities. And we have not received them because we have earned or somehow deserved them. Since these gifts are according to God's will and not ours, it should be clear that they should not be used for our own boasting or entertainment. The Spirit is intentional as He apportions these spiritual gifts to each person according to His will and His purposes. The most obvious and stated purpose of these manifestations is for the good and edification of the church. The Spirit desires to use us when our hearts are aligned with His vision, when we are all filled with genuine love for the church, and when we desire to see the church grow in love for God and others. Let me read that last sentence. The Spirit desires to use us when our hearts are aligned with this vision. When we are filled with genuine love for the church, that means with each other. And when we desire to see the church, the kingdom church, grow in love for God and for others. You are called not just to love the people that are easy to love. You are called to love the people that are hard to love. You are called to love your enemy. And love is an action. It's all in Matthew 28. To go and make disciples of all nations, even those people you don't like. I mean, Jonah, read the story of Jonah. It's all about that. Do you love the church that much? Do you love the person sitting beside you that much? Even the one you don't know the name of? In 2012, and I shared a bit of this with you, after 23 years in ministry, I went through a season of burnout and disappointment and suffering from unhealthy conditions, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And you know, at that time in my life, it would have been easy. It would have been an easy thing to step away from the church. Just to leave and say, I've given, Lord, I gave 23 years of my life to this, full out, full on. And this is what I get for it. I'm not doing it anymore. But see, that would be selfish. I needed to check my motives. Because when I did check my motives, I found that I was worshiping ministry more than I was worshiping God. I was all great with all the giftedness that God has given me, but I was using it so that I could have a job, that I would be sustained, that I would be looked at. Oh, there's Pastor Mike. But you see, my motives were wrong. And when I checked my motives, when God took me to a place where all I could see was Him, and thank the Lord that He did, all I could see was, Lord, just use me as You will. Use me as You will. I couldn't walk away. I love the church because the church loves me. And that is Christ through the church loves me. While falling ever so short compared to the faithfulness of Paul, of the Apostle Paul, I can resonate a bit ever so slightly when he says in Philippians 1, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. It wasn't my time. I have to submit to the Lord and say, what is it that you want me to do, Lord, that will bring glory to your name? And when I submitted all of me to him, he did great things. He took me to the depths, the valley of the shadow of death. But he sustained me. He kept me. He provided for me and our family. And as I continued to submit, he made a way. And I'm so thankful for that because I'm in the right place at the right time. Here at the fountain. And not just me, church. That's why you're here. Because God has a purpose for this church, the fountain, at this time, at this moment in history. And all we have to do is keep in step with the Holy Spirit and walk in obedience. Give him the glory. And God will draw all men to him. The Holy Spirit works to glorify Jesus, yet in so many ways. The Corinthian church was guilty of the opposite, though, at that time. They wanted to draw attention to themselves. They were not acting for the betterment of the body, but on their own behalf. They were trying to use the manifestations of the Spirit for their own glory. They weren't interested in what God wanted to do in others, but wanted to show off what God was doing in them. A sure sign that the Holy Spirit is working is that Jesus is magnified, not people. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify you. No, glorify the Father in heaven. It is possible for us to do incredible things, church, for the kingdom, yet have people give glory to God rather than to us, and that's the goal. Has this ever happened to you? Or do people praise you for your good works? When the Holy Spirit truly moves, God is the one praised. Jesus is the one lifted up. When the Spirit moved at Pentecost, people knew there was a power. That the power was present and it came from God. They didn't leave saying, wow, John is amazing. He learned a new language in a few seconds. No. They went away saying, giving praise to the Lord because what he had done. So maybe, here's the question you need to ask yourself. If you can't find it within you, maybe you need to ask God to show you. And that's what the Holy Spirit's job is too, to remind us and to teach us. In Psalm 139 it says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Ask God to search you. Ask God to show you. Stay in his word, and by his grace and his promise, he will show you what yet you haven't surrendered to him. Let's pray that people will see our works and glorify the Lord. When we are truly led by the Spirit, when we submit to the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit, he helps us become more holy, more like Jesus. Before I close here, I want to leave you actually with an encouragement, maybe a little mantra for the week, maybe a little motto, but it's truth, it's God's word, and it comes from Ephesians 3. And then I want us to lead us into a time of communion. But in Ephesians 3, it says this: I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. And why? To grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You see, you have all of God available to you. You have all of Jesus available to you. You have all of the Spirit available to you. But church, does He have all of you? Think about that this week. Think about that as we celebrate, we remember what Jesus did for us on the cross to make all of this possible. He surrendered His life from heaven and came down, gave it up for you and me, that we could have an eternity with God if we chose to. And I guess that's the other question. How will you come before the table today? Celebrating what He did for you, honoring Jesus, thanking Him, celebrating His life, His death, and His resurrection. And if you are not even there yet, maybe you haven't trusted Him as your Savior. Maybe that's your decision today. It's to say, I want God and I want Jesus and I want the Spirit living inside of me. Because it makes all the difference when we're all surrendered to the Spirit. So as Susan plays some music in the background and leads in that way, you're going to have an opportunity to get up where you are and come and share in this moment by taking of the bread and of the juice. And I'll be standing up here. If today is the day that you want to make a personal decision to trust the Lord as your Lord and as your Savior, would you pray with me? Father God, thank You. Thank You for, one, sending Jesus, allowing Him to come. Jesus, thank You for coming, but also thank You for going, because You're there preparing a place for those who love You, that You'll come back and get us one day. But Father, You left for us. Lord, You left for us Your Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He is here. He is in this world. He is in us. He is on us. He is around us. But yet so many times, He doesn't have all of us. So God, right now, I pray that we will look deeply and see where there's an area that we haven't surrendered to the Spirit as of yet. Or maybe we have to re-surrender because we took it back. God, I pray that You would examine each heart as they would allow You, Father, and show. Spirit, do Your work in us. Spirit, fall on us. Father, I pray that there are arms open wide, hearts open wide, heads bowed, Father, that they would surrender all to You. Because when all is surrendered to You, You do great things to draw people to You, Father. We ask Your blessing now upon this communion, to Your glory first, Lord, and to our remembrance. In the name of Jesus, we all say together, amen.